I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, a new line of sympathy cards for the whole spectrum of life setbacks. But first, let's play some new music. That was Fever. Obviously not a new song, but maybe you haven't heard Sharon Cash singing it before. We found this song on a new album called Soul Sides Volume 2, The Covers. Soul Sides is part of a larger project of Oliver Wang. Wang is an assistant professor of sociology at Cal State Long Beach, and for years he's been running the Soul Sides audio blog. Volume 1 of Underground and Rare Soul was released in 2005. Volume 2 is just out, and Oliver Wang joins us now from NPR West. Welcome. Thanks for joining us.
No, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
How did you get into this? Honestly, come on, really. This is like a mixtape, right?
It really is.
You'd make for your friends.
Sure.
But your friends are like lots and lots of friends, and now it's a beautiful, beautiful album.
Well, I mean, I think the mixtape's a great analogy, and it really reflects the fact that, you know, I started DJing back in 1993, and I've been a music journalist since 1994, and I'm also a music scholar in my professional life. And so I've been running Soul Sides, the audio blog, now for since about 2003. And I was approached by Kevin Drost at Zealous Records in New York City, who says, listen, you already put this music together for your audio blog. How about putting together a similar concept for an album? Clearly, it worked out well enough that we managed to survive to Volume 2. The theme for Volume 2 is that it's all cover songs.
It seems like with cover songs, there's always this question of whether musicians are being less original than they could be, or are they, taking the lazy route out?
The reason why I love covers, and this has been something that I've blogged about many times, and I've actually had, long before Soul Sides Volume 2 ever came out, I put together my own mixtape of just covers. And what I like about them is that they blend a hint of the familiar. In other words, we recognize the covers because we know the songs, but they're done in a new, from a new approach, and hopefully in a creatively new approach. So it gives it a different spin. So you have this blend of something that you know on one level. You know the lyrics to maybe, but it's being presented to you in a whole different fashion. And that's what I really love about cover songs, is their ability to have that kind of balance.
Let's talk about some of the choices for the album. Listen to this. Singing a Beatles song.
Yeah, you can't see it right now, but I'm every time I hear that song, I can't help but lip sync too.
Oh, you kidding me? What do you think I'm doing?
Exactly.
What do you think I'm doing? I hit my cough button so you couldn't hear me sing, because you don't want to hear me sing. Why did you pick this one?
For one thing, I'm a huge Al Green fan, and I discovered this song sort of later on into my discovery of his catalog. And what makes it interesting is it was the very first single that Al Green recorded with High Records, produced by Willie Mitchell, which is the label that he really became Al Green in terms of became a national star. And it was the very first single he recorded for them, but it was a flop. It really didn't go anywhere. I guess people weren't ready to hear a Southern soul version of a Beatles song. And as a result, that song never made it onto any album.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How did you find it?
I think it actually came out in a later compilation that was designed to look at sort of unreleased or rare Al Green songs, and I was instantly taken with it. I mean, it was such a great version of that Beatles song, and the way that Al Green is Al Green on it, I think was just fantastic.
It's definitely a head rocker in the car, you know.
Yeah.
You will draw attention driving down the street. Listen to that. But listen, you follow it by something very different. Let's play a little bit of that.
A junkie walking through the twilight. I'm on my way home. I left 3 days ago. But no one seems to know I'm gone. such a bad idea if I never went home again.
Some pretty intense lyrics there.
Well, this is Estra Phillips covering Gil Scott-Heron's song, Home is Where the Hatred Is. And what's really remarkable and incredible about both songs is it's a song about addiction, and not just metaphoric addiction, but also literal alcoholism, drug abuse. And both Gil Scott and Estra Phillips, especially Estra Phillips, whose whole sort of life story and career is actually quite tragic because of her problems with addiction. The fact that she would choose this Gil Scott-Heron song of all of them, of his massive catalog to cover, really says a lot about her really expressing something that is incredibly personal, which is about her own demons. And so in listening to the song and knowing about that back history, you realize how much more poignant it is in terms of her speaking, not just a sort of abuse and addiction, you know, as a social problem, but she's really speaking from her own experience as well.
Now, Oliver, would it be rude of me to point out that you're not black?
No, I think that would be an observant point.
So does anybody find it odd or intriguing that you as an Asian American man, and not just, you know, a scholar, you got a PhD, you know, you're a professor and all that, that you're
sure.
So deep into soul music?
If someone finds that unusual or at least worth noting, yeah, I think that's valid perhaps, but for me, it's not something that I'm that self-conscious about. When I'm listening to this music, I'm really listening for the music. And I understand sort of the historical circumstances in which this music is emerging from. And as someone who studies race and thinks about the ways in which race and racism works in society, it actually makes that music all the more poignant to understand the relationship between, let's say, a song like Sam Cooke's A Change Is Gonna Come and the Civil Rights Movement and what's going on in America during that time. So it actually enriches that, my interest in those things.
What's your definition of soul music? What makes soul soul?
Oh, you know, this is going to be a cop-out, except I think it's true. Ultimately, you know soul music when you hear it.
What about Che Che Cole? Why is that a soul song?
I picked that song for a variety of reasons. The original Che Che Cole was done by Willie Colon, the salsa artist. And Willie Colon comes out of this moment in New York's Puerto Rican history where Latin music and soul music have merged and have now become, you know, quite miscegenated. And the song gets covered by Antibalas, which is another New York group, but, you know, an entire generation later, which are these people who are paying homage to Fela Kuti and other Afrobeat artists. It just seemed like a really fantastic collision. And to me, that's part of what soul does well, too, is to really bring together and embrace a very wide array of different kinds of musical and cultural influences. If I can also just add, I mean, the other thing, too, is that that's a very funky song, and you don't get to funk without talking about soul first.
Why do you think this particular music speaks to you so deeply?
Well, I think like a lot of folks in my generation, especially those who came up into music through hip-hop, you know, so much of hip-hop depends on recycling and picking from soul music of the past. I mean, that's the template. That's the bedrock of so much of hip-hop's production. And through being a fan of hip-hop, I was always curious, okay, I know that they're sampling something from the past, be it from James Brown or from Barry White or from whoever. Let me see what it is about that music that today's producers find so intriguing and enthralling. You know, these are the records that they grew up and found in their mother's and father's record collection and their basements and whatnot. What is it about those songs and those artists that they find so compelling that they want to recycle them into the present? And so I really went through hip-hop backwards into soul music and I think discovered those same kind of qualities, the richness, the textures, and really at the very heart of it, just the emotional appeal of soul music in terms of this incredibly emotionally expressive style of singing and the use of rhythm to really bring those kinds of feelings of both sadness and happiness and excitement and sexuality and passion, all of these things out into the surface.
Do you have a favorite track on this album? And I realize that might be like asking which of your kids is your favorite, but do you have one?
I have a couple, I would say. I mean, the Al Green one, certainly. The Donovan Carlos song, which ends the album, it's a cover of William Devon's Be Thankful for What You Got, which especially on the West Coast is sort of this really classic soul and summer anthem, really. And there's something about hearing a reggae version of that song, which is absolutely perfect.
Though you may not try.
I never, never get tired of this song. It's so easy to end with in that way.
Diamonds in the back, the sun moved up, gigging the sea with a gangster lean. Diamonds in the back, the sun moved up, gigging the sea with a gangster lean.
Oliver Wang is an assistant professor of sociology at Cal State Long Beach and the curator of Soulsides Volumes 1 and now 2 as well. Thank you so much, Professor Wang, and thank you for your album. And let's say goodbye to Be Thankful for What You Got. For more on Soulsides, you can check out our website at npr.org/tellmemore.